Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning.
Threw you off, didn't it? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. It's, you know what? We used to do that all the time with the station first, and then we'd say the good morning, Georgia. But I think during this pandemic, we should put the people in our audience first, and then we get the station, because they know who they're listening to, right?
How about that?
Or will we get a call from somebody? All right. Good morning, Georgia. Anyway, listen, I want to get your all-in challenge person in a little bit, but it's been a few weeks since we talked to this guy, and obviously this is a week where his opinions, we can't wait to hear. And but I want to start off with how we've talked to all our guests. I want to welcome D. Orlando Ledbetter, D. Led, to the show, friend of the show. You know him as far as just the preeminent voices, get information from about the Atlanta Falcons. But D. Led, how you doing, man, during all this time?
Hey, Greg, thanks for asking. Holding up pretty good here. Been able to, put my head down and dive into our position by position series, which concluded today. So it's kind of been, a little bit of normality for me. And, teaching at UGA, we had to do the Zoom classes online and everything. So that's been kind of depressing to see what the kids are, how they're dealing with it. So, personally doing pretty good and just trying to, keep my head down and get through this draft here and, see how we get through this situation that we're in, this pandemic.
I think we lost Mr.
Critch. Pretty time of the way for hotline with dear Orlando Ledbetter. Yeah, always good to catch up with him, especially at this time. You've done so much work. Are we agreeing, or are we agreeing it's going to be defense for the Falcons? You feel like that's going to be it? And will it be up front, or will it be in the secondary?
Yes, Sam, I think they've got a couple different options there for him at 16, and, they're always looking to trade up. Most of the talk is around Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina, the defensive tackle, and then C.J. Henderson, the cornerback from Florida. So those are the two we got on their radar for sure. But, if they're not there, maybe Christian Fulton from LSU is a possibility. He's a cornerback also. And then they got to do something with their offensive line. They need a left guard who could possibly play center down the road. And, Cushenberry, the Ruiz kid from Michigan, Cesar Ruiz, they can take them at 16, but, maybe they trade back and get some picks and get the line situated. But they have some options. It's going to be some good players available at 16, that's for certain.
Thoughts about Kinlaw and the things that makes him a guy that would be a great guy to go in there and plug in beside Grady Jarrett. And I think that's something that people are watching for. Who could they pair with him that would really solidify things up front?
Yeah, and the other kid I felt was Levant Clavion Chaisson from LSU. He's an outside rusher. But Javon, Sam, he's a big kid, 6'6". His weight fluctuated at South Carolina, but once he got it under control, he looked like a terror. He can play a lot of different positions along the line, too, so that makes him attractive in that he's versatile. One of his better games was against Georgia, and another one was against Alabama. So he's been up to the competition when he's been faced with it. So He's a guy, you know, he could play off of Grady. Grady could play off of him. He could keep the guards from climbing to get Deion Jones. So, you know, instead of looking at your pass rushes getting around the edge, you can go up the middle now and get in quarterback spaces. And, that, and with Tom Brady in our division now, that'll be very important for them, is to get pressure up the middle and get in his space. So Javon Kinlaw would make a whole lot of sense for the Falcons. But they probably have to trade up to get him.
D. Orlando Ledbetter joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You just touched on it, which is where I was going to go, and talking about this division. It's rare that you talk about a division that's gotten better when they have added an age player as opposed to losing two younger players. Talking about Cam Newton's going to be somewhere else. Jameis is going to be somewhere else. But now they're talking about the NFC South as the toughest division, or one of the toughest, with the addition of Tom Brady coming to Tampa Bay. Your overall thoughts on this division, because we haven't talked to you since Tom made it official with Tampa.
Yeah, no question about it, Greg. Still think the Saints are the lead dog in the NFC South. They won the last three division titles. I think Tampa Bay leaped ahead of the Falcons, because if you study the two games last year, Tampa Bay took it to the Falcons here in Atlanta, six sacks, 14 quarterback hits. The Falcons couldn't block them. So, and all those guys are back. They got Sue, they got Shaq Barrett back, they got Jason Pierre-Paul back, and then they got Devin White, who will be in his second year. So their front was strong. And then down there, the Falcons went toe-to-toe with them, rallied late, and got some help from Jameis in overtime to win that one with the pick six. So, you know, Tampa Bay with Brady not throwing 30 interceptions, you got to move them ahead of a 7-9 Falcons team until we see they fix this line and what they do with the defense. And then Carolina looks like they're rebuilding the college coach thing. They got Teddy Bridgewater. They got rid of all their good players, you know, pretty much rebuilding in Carolina. So, they got to stay in last place for now. That's how we got the NFC South looking heading into the draft.
Speaking of Teddy Bridgewater, do you think we've seen the best of him so far? Or do you think there's a chance of him going to the next level?
No, I thought he was pretty good. You got to go back to before the injury. And he went to the Pro Bowl up in Minnesota. I think it was his second year in the league. And then the leg went out that summer. So if he can get back to that, he's a top 10 type of quarterback. Last year when he went 5-0, he was more managing, throwing a lot of checkdowns and that type of thing. So I want to see if he's a playmaker, if he has any plays left. But Teddy was, we forget he was one of the top quarterbacks coming out and was off to a good start in his career in Minnesota before the injury came. So this will be a good, chance for him to resurrect his career. He's got some talent around him. He's got Christian McCaffrey, who just got paid. They've never had any wide receivers since going back to Musha Muhammad and, I guess Steve Smith was pretty good, but that was about it. So he's got a few weapons up there, and we'll see. It's just too much going on, and I don't, the whole college coach thing never works.
Spend your time on the waitfor.com hotline with D. Orlando Ledbetter, AJC at AJC.com. He is social, by the way. As always, you can follow him on D. Orlando AJC, at D. Orlando AJC. We had Dr. Dale Yake on earlier, and we talked about the health of players and the fact that a lot of guys are going to be drafted without being seen by team physicians or how they've been evaluated. And everybody talks about Tua, where he should go, if the Dolphins are going to take him way up in the way up in the draft. Talk about the impact that will have on this draft. Guys who haven't been seen by physicians, but, you get down those rounds, you got to draft somebody. Talk about the impact of that possibly in this draft, D-Led.
Yeah, the big thing was the guys at the combine all got their medicals done. So some guys like Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State, there were questions about him. So the medical rechecks were not done. So that's going to be a problem. They're going to have to rely on, the best information they have. It really hurts the guys who didn't go to the combine, but maybe pro talents, and they were going to perform at their pro days and so forth. So, teams are going to be taking some flyers later in this draft that they might not have might not have had to take, had we been able to get through the whole process here. And we're going to probably see an overdrafting of the guys who went to the combine and the guys who went to the Senior Bowl because the teams know more about them. So the undrafted classes are going to be interesting. You're going to probably find a lot more undrafted players making the team this year, making all the teams this year if, we get to football. But that's how it's going to affect them. And, the HBCU combine got canceled, so anybody that was going to shine there didn't get an opportunity. But as far as Tua, Lee Steinberg, did a great job of getting his medicals out, doing the videos of him working out and moving around. So the question is he's healthy now, but the question with Tua is with so many surgeries at Alabama is, can he hold up to an NFL season? Can he make it, for 16 games, year after year after year? And, his injury history says he can't. So that's going to be interesting to see if the Dolphins do move up to 3 or sit at 5 and take Tua in the draft.
You brought up medical evaluation, and we spent this whole interview not bringing up the name of Todd Gurley, but we haven't spoken to you, I don't think, since the acquisition. I haven't had a chance to, at least. And so because of that, and everybody that he's puts a microphone in front of him, and he's trying to reassure he's healthy, he's going to be this and that. Are you drinking that Kool-Aid and you feel good about him stepping in from day one and being, I don't even know what percentage to put on him as far as the running back we saw that went to the NFC Championship a few years ago and what we have now here in Atlanta?
Yeah, I think, the doctors we've talked to said that it has to be managed. He can certainly still play with it. I don't think he's a 30 carry, a game guy anymore. But, heck, you can get him 15 to 20 touches a game. Throw him 5, let him run 15. Let him be the lead horse of your committee. You got a committee back there. You got a lot of money in the backfield now. Quadri Ellison was your short yardage guy last year. You had Ito Smith rolling on the inside zone stuff before he got hurt. And then Brian Hill was a good sub. So, you got a committee to roll with, and he could be the lead horse in that committee. But, no, I don't think he's a 2,000-yard guy anymore. Just the doctors say that. The arthritis in the knee is such that it has to be managed. Probably won't practice every day. Probably need to not play him in the exhibition season. And just have him ready to go on Sundays to run some hard sweeps, some stretch plays, and some check downs out of the backfield. That'll be a good addition to this offense. Should be a major upgrade from Devontae Freeman.
Is there anything you can say to the Falcons fan base that makes us feel confident or at least better about the fact that whatever the Falcons are putting in place from last season to the next time they hit the field, that Julio Jones will return not only to the end zone more, but become that top elite player that we've seen in the past?
Well, yeah, they've been able to do that. Dirk knows how to get him the ball, and that's from, first time around and then last year. And then Ridley will be back too, so that'll be helpful. My concern is the offensive line, Greg. They gave up 50 sacks and 135 quarterback hits last year. This line can't hold up dropping back 30 times a game. It's built to run. Is James Carpenter healthy? Is Alex Mack healthy? Chris Lindstrom looked good last year. Caleb McGarry's got to get better in pass protection. And Jake Matthews got to step his game up. So they're counting on all of that happening because they didn't sign anybody in free agency to help that offensive line. They signed a couple backup dudes, but nobody of great stature. So I want to see what they get in the draft. But right now they're rolling with that same line that, scrubbed it up last year, getting the quarterback beat up and knocked out of the game.
That's what we thought of. Well, you say that, D-Lay, but we got 11 first-round picks on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, but that don't mean nothing if they're giving up 13 sacks. That's how many
gotta keep them healthy.
Gave up, and James Carpenter was hurt, so he wasn't in the lineup. So, being a first-round pick don't mean you're a Pro Bowler.
And with that, we'll be ready for the draft coming up this week. D. Orlando Ledbetter, we appreciate you spending some time with us, bringing us the knowledge, letting us know what you're up to, your thoughts about it. obviously a crucial draft for the Atlanta Falcons, crucial for the front office, crucial for the coaching staff as well. And we look to see what happens this week. But thanks so much for getting up and spending some time with us this morning. Shelter in place, man. Stay healthy, man.
Say yeah. Stay safe, you and the family.
We'll do, Greg and Sam. And I don't know, how do y'all like the new uniforms? That's what everybody seems to be enjoying and talking about. Maybe they'll make them play better.
Okay.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so.
We are trying to
take care, guys.
You got it. You got it, D-Lay. See that, Sam? We were trying to stay off the cosmetic stuff, the life love. We were talking about the players. Normally, that'd be
We're trying to get nuts and bolts here about what's going on this week. Always
coming up
to catch up with him.
Speaking of the draft, we have got Charlie Campbell joining us next. He's a draft specialist from WalterFootball.com. He joins us this past week. We're going to have that radio replay for you next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on radio.com and all your devices, including your smart speakers.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg in the virtual Kia Studios. Glad you're with us on this Sunday morning. Got rain coming through the area, like it's going to be a rain event for much of the day. So if you're sheltering in place anyway, stay there.
It's coming down. It's popping on the windows now.
I hope all is well with you and your family, wherever you may be around the area during this time. And once again, Greg, we always give a shout out to the people who keep things going. People in the hospitals, people who work in the city, county for our government, people who keep things moving around. And during this time of this pandemic, had a chance to spend some time with the people at Fleet Services for the City of Atlanta this week. And those are the people who keep the city vehicles going, everything from police cars and fire trucks to garbage trucks, water department. You want those folks to show up when you call them. And so those people have been working around the clock to keep those vehicles moving.
As we get ready for Thursday's draft, we have had a number of people show up at the station this past week and talk about it, give their perspective. We just heard from D. Orlando Ledbetter and what he thinks the Falcons should do. But earlier this week, Charlie Campbell, he's a draft specialist with WaterFootball.com, joined the morning show. And here he is with John and Hugh. This is Charlie Campbell, the radio replay on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Charlie Campbell, who is a draft analyst of Walter Football, joins us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Morning to you, Charlie.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
How you doing, Charlie? How you holding up?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm ready to get this thing rolling. You know, the NFL draft feels like Christmas morning, so I can't wait.
Let's talk a little bit about that NFL draft, Charlie. I mean, first off, you know, most anticipated draft maybe ever because of the nature of what we're going through, and it is the big news. It's the only news going on right now, but also because of, you know, to be the most dissected draft. Because of that great unknown, how much of this draft do you think is going to change because we have two great unknowns? You're doing a draft virtually for the first time, as Mike Mayock said, it's like back in 1976, and virtually, and so that's a great unknown. And the second great unknown is there are a lot of players out there that a lot of teams have question marks about because they couldn't get kind of the final answers prior to us getting a lockdown.
Yeah, I mean, it's really going to be interesting to see how this whole situation impacts the draft and where players go and who they land with and all of that. Because, like you said, it's such an unprecedented situation. And I kind of surveyed teams and asking scouts. And, you know, it's weird for them, extremely weird for them because most of the team scouts aren't with the team. You're going to have the general manager not have the scouting staff with them. Most scouts don't live in the NFL city of the team that employs them. They're all spread out all around the country because they cover different regions. So they live in that region, and then they fly to the team for meetings, draft meetings, other things, and are there for the draft, obviously. So they're all at home. But, you know, in kind of surveying them, they think that overall – this could help the players that are viewed as kind of safer guys, guys without off-the-field issues, guys without medical issues. The guys with medical issues, this could hurt more than typically because you don't have the opportunity to get them in your own team facility, have your doctors check them out in April, give a thumbs up and say, yeah, we're looking pretty good. and then you don't have the opportunity for them to work with the coaches and have a private workout and have the coaches advocate for taking the player. So this really, you know, hurts the guys with question marks.
We're talking to Charlie Campbell, Walter Football Draft Analyst on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the WayForward.com hotline. Charlie, I got a question for you. I know that the NFL was going to do, first time ever, they were going to have this HBCU draft. Well, this HBCU combine where they were going to, you know, work out some of these guys who didn't get invited to the combine. How do you think, with everything being the way it is right now, how is it going to affect those guys and their potential of getting drafted this year?
Well, you know, I think that that those guys will still be in play if teams, you know, have them as draftable. I think this is also going to help some of the guys that were in the XFL as far as after the draft being signed over, you know, undrafted free agents from the college ranks, because as you know, Hugh, you know, when you get hit training camp, especially with less of an off-season program, teams like veterans who kind of know how to practice and know the flow of practice. So the XFL guys are going to kind of have a leg up on the undrafted college players in terms of, you know, being signed to some of those final roster spots for the 90 guys. So that's the other impact of this that I think is kind of going under the radar, that the leftovers of the XFL, you'll see more guys get signed after the draft.
Talking with Charlie Campbell, Walter Football, again, walterfootball.com. So let's talk about the Falcons. They're sitting at 16. What do you think the Falcons do? There's rumors about trading up. Do they have designs on a defensive tackle in Javon Kinlaw? Do they have designs on an edge guy like Caleb Von Chason? Or are they going cornerback with C.J. Henderson? What do you see the Falcons doing?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, I think they could do all of those, but given what I'm hearing, it sounds mostly like cornerback is the preference among those, that's the position that they would like. That's what people around the league are saying, and you don't know if misinformation is being let out on purpose, but I would think that makes a ton of sense after cutting Desmond Trufant. They could really use that number one corner for Raheem Morris's defense. And I know Raheem Morris well, and he is a phenomenal coach. I think he's going to do a great job there in Atlanta as the defensive coordinator. He runs all kinds of multiple things in coverage. So having that one shutdown corner on one side of the field really allows him to be creative with what he does with the other defensive backs and how he employs them, how he uses a double team on other players. So if he has that number one corner that he can put on an island, have the rest of the guys move into zone or play quarters, he'll just do a lot of different things. I saw him do that in 2010 with the Bucs when they won 10 games, and he was the head coach and defensive coordinator, and he had Aqib Talib playing at a really high level at that point. And that defense really lacked talent up front. And that secondary, through the coverage and the variety that Raheem used, they really gave offenses problems and were able to kind of mask some of the issues they had up front. So I think you give Raheem Morris a number one corner, he's going to do some really excellent things there in Atlanta.
That's interesting. We're talking to Charlie Campbell, Walter Football Draft Analyst on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's one of the rumors that's been out there that's been flying around. There are some other ones. You know, this is the time of year where there's a lot of rumors out there that people are speculating about this, that, and the third. But what are some of the ones that might actually be true?
Well, you know, there's always going to be some misinformation that gets out there, but you know, of the things that I think might actually be true, I could see the Broncos, from what I've heard, they might not trade up from 15, as some have speculated, but they might trade back into the first round because they have a plethora of day two picks. So don't be surprised if Denver is really active. I've also heard that Miami, this one, kind of gone under the radar. Everyone talks about them potentially trading up from number 5, But I've heard from people with the Dolphins that, you know, when they acquired all those picks, that wasn't really the plan to move up high in the first round, but they might be more active after that. In fact, they might look to move back into the top 10 and packaging their two first-round picks at 18 and 26 because they have a huge hole at offensive tackle. There's a big drop-off after that first four, and their general manager also happens to be really close friends with Kirby Smart, so I've heard they really like Andrew Thomas as well. So they might grab a quarterback and then try and jump back up to get an offensive tackle to protect them.
Charlie, we appreciate your taking a few minutes. As mentioned, I am a huge fan of your site. I've been reading Walter Football for nearly two decades. I think the information there is phenomenal, and appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us this morning. Thanks.
Oh, great talking with you guys, and I always loved watching Hugh play. Man, that was fun. A fun sight. Thanks for having me.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Hope you're staying dry. We've got rain out here in West Cobb, which means it's heading toward the city if it ain't already there.
It's already here, man. It's all over the place.
That's all over in Mr. Crenshaw's backyard. Hey, happy birthday to Sweet Music. Now, if I say that, do you know who I'm talking about? Well, his nickname was Sweet Music.
Not sure.
Frank Viola.
Sweet
Music Viola.
String Music.
Yeah, man, Sweet. He played, you know, he was in that Twins World Series with the Braves. Frank Viola, Al
Unser.
Yeah,
remember that. Remember him.
Al Unser Jr., Harris Barton, and I'm going to make you feel old with some of these other ones here, but Candace Parker. I mention her because we have a commercial sitting someplace that never aired. Candace Parker. Candace Parker and I and a few others shot Final Four commercials for Geico, right? And of course the tournament never aired, so they're sitting someplace. But anyway, happy birthday, Candace Parker, and that cheating tennis player Maria Sharapova. I'll leave it at that.
You just can't help it. You can't help
yourself.
Well,
she did. She got caught, man.
Greg, I
got
to give you a note.
Yes.
In the store yesterday, I stopped by the store to pick up a couple of things. Mm-hmm. One of the managers over there, this guy who's stocking the shelves, instead of stocking, restocking, and he says, and I got a mask on, right? Mm-hmm. But he knows who I am, even with my mask on. He says, "Hey man," he said, "you make sure and tell Greg, I need that casting call so I can get up out of here."
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. I have an answer to
He looking for a gig, man.
Well, I'm going to tell you how you can get one in just a second. But before we get into that, there's something going on here as far as the people in this city and around, I shouldn't say just in the city, but around Atlanta, who are continuing to help out those who need to get food and so on and so forth. And we have a list of restaurants on our website and businesses that are still open. I was going to let you run down because I don't have it in front of me.
I got it in front of me. If you go to 929thegame.com/radio.com. Radio 929thegame.radio.com/lovelocalatlanta. Love Local Atlanta. And you can see a listing of places that are still open. You know, it's very important to support your restaurants. And you want them to be there when you come back. And a lot of them are still open serving you. You got to be, it's carry out. You can drive up, they'll fix it for you and bring it out to your car. If you can go online and place your orders, you can call and make your orders. And they got a long list of the places that are open. Some really, really good places that you'd like to go. I'm thinking like to Antico Pizza. That's a nice place. Atlanta Breakfast Club. Going down to Busy Bee. That's a place I kind of like to go sometimes. You want to get some soul food. So you're 6 feet under. There are a number of places. JR Crickets. Just a number of places that you like to eat anyway. But right now you can't go inside and eat like you normally would. They were happy to prepare them. If you want to see this list once again, it's at 929thegame.radio.com/lovelocalatlanta. Go out and support our local restaurants who are still preparing food for you.
And by the way, if you haven't got enough draft talk for you, all the interviews that take place throughout the course of the week, you can also hear those interviews, the ones that we had. But the guys, Monday through Friday, they are also up on our website. Go to 929thegame.com. Mr. Crenshaw, we've been talking throughout the show about the All-In Challenge. Yes. And if you don't know what's going on, these are people in the sports world, the entertainment world, the business world, who are providing things that they do, a little bit of their world for those who want to help provide food for those in need, kids, elderly, and the frontline heroes. It's an all-in challenge. And I mean, everybody from Roger Goodell to Leonardo DiCaprio to Drake, they're all offering things. And so you talked about the guy wanting to get a job as an extra. Well, the money that's been raised so far is over $11 million and it's continuing to grow. So you can go to this website.
That's impressive.
Yeah, you can go to the website, allinchallenge.com, and see the pictures of those people who are offering things. DiCaprio is offering a walk-on role in his next Scorsese movie. You heard me. Yeah,
really?
A walk-on role. Now, Kevin Hart's doing the same thing. So these, again, if you go there, you're going to see actors that are giving you shots at being in some of their movies or upcoming projects. So here's another one, Ryan Seacrest. He's offering you a chance to co-host. My question is, what? Is it American Idol? Is it his show with Kelly Ripa? Is it his radio show? Or do you get all three? You see what I'm saying? So we got to find this out. But I asked you earlier. Yeah. I asked you earlier if you could hook up next to somebody, and I kind of made one for you, but you didn't think you could go a set with Serena. But if you were seeking out a celebrity or actor, you know, business person, who is it and what would you like to do with that person?
I'd be like all of the above. I'd probably hang out with Shaq. It would be fun.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. You know, first of all, you're gonna have good... You're going to eat plenty.
You will.
The donuts. You're going to go on a Carnival cruise. You know what I mean?
Well, no, you ain't going on a cruise now.
Along with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, you ain't going on a cruise right now.
Well, I mean, this is after all this ends. Right? This is what has happened. You're not gonna
I think that's
going to
be an industry
now.
that's going to suffer
a little
bit.
All done.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Mark Cuban's offering
affordable. Let's put it like that. It's going to be real affordable.
Yes, it will. It will be that. Mark Cuban's offering a spot on the Mavs for a day, a one-day contract to play on the Mavs. Jamie Foxx is offering a walk-on role in his new TV show. So there's lots there. Madonna's a part of this. An autographed Madam X tour jacket. So go on that all-in challenge, and you know, start bidding. And you know where the money's going, so you can't beat that.
Yeah.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I'm going to ask you a question, Mr. Crenshaw. In his first two contracts, how much money do you think Michael Jordan made? If you had to guess.
I'm not sure, but I know he wasn't the highest paid player in the league.
If his own team. Yeah, $29 million. $29 million.
Okay.
He got that on him now. I mean,
yeah, he does.
The details you're going to hear about this team and what they went through, and then the individuals that played on it. Scottie Pippen really got run under the table by Jerry Reinsdorf while he was there. But it's maddening to think that he had to, you know, kowtow and beg and plead to get the money at the end of his contract after he'd already won four championships. Now, we know he got $30 million or $33 million those last 2 years with the Bulls, and, you know, he pretty much built the United Center.
Yeah.
But the relationship
that
owner told them, but Jerry Reinsdorf told him that he didn't want to pay him that money. He don't want to give it to a guard. Because again, the old style thinking was, let's give it to a big man, but he didn't want to pay Michael Jordan, that was one of the things that stuck with Jordan. I mean, you say something.
That team was always big man by committee.
Exactly.
That's the amazing thing about that team. One and the it was always big man by committee.
Bill Willington.
Whoever we got, just put a body in there.
Was it Winnington? Of course, started off with Cartwright, that crazy shot of his.
Bill Cartwright.
All those guys.
Will
Luke
Perdue.
Longley later on. Yes.
You had just a – yeah. Oh, you just had a string of guys that were just warm bodies. big dudes with a pulse.
So this is we're pretty much talking about. Here's something that a lot of people don't know. You know how close Scottie Pippen got came to get traded to Seattle in 87?
Whoa.
Maybe it was 94. Sean Kemp. This was in 94 while Jordan was trying to be a left fielder or whatever position he was playing with the Barons. But there was talk of Scottie Pippen being traded to Seattle for Sean Kemp. The question then was asked to Michael, if that trade had happened, would he have come back? And he's like, nope, wouldn't have done it. There were two things that had to be in place for Michael Jordan to be what he became. And one was Phil Jackson and the other was Scottie. And the story surrounding them and then, of course, you know, getting those two guys from the Pistons who beat the you-know-what out of him, but made him who he became, meaning John Sally and Dennis Rodman. This is going to be interesting. We're all waiting for this this special tonight. 10-week docuseries, if you will. But I want to keep saying rounds, like the draft. But parts 1 and 2 are going to air tonight, The Last Dance. How much are you looking forward to this, man?
I'm looking forward to it. And you know what? A look inside, not just to see Jordan, the player, but a guy whose career was like crafted and shaped, you know, to be an entity with a brand. You know what I mean? We see a lot of guys who are like that now. We saw Kobe like that. We saw LeBron's like that now. Or you know, Derek Jeter, he had Jordan brand and was able to do so much with a brand. But that was the guy who, the first person we saw, Tiger, they got a whole division of Nike just for him. Jordan was the first one that they did this with. And what was it like to be on a team with a guy like who not only was a phenomenal talent, but because of what he did, everybody that worked under that brand drove a nicer car, ate a bigger slice of steak, lived in a nicer house. Well, guys who had all that, that they had to play for with that in mind. And it's, you know, it's caused him to be criticized in many ways because he stayed out of anything political. He, you know, wouldn't take sides on a lot of issues people thought he should have. But I think that was because he was this division of this brand that had just been put out there for him. And the public persona was what had been shaped and crafted by Nike and everybody around him. What was the real thing? We saw one thing, but what was the real thing? And I think that's what we look to see tonight. Remember, as I said earlier in the show, this was before social media. This was before TMZ with a phone, somebody sending a phone video of everything you do to be put on television nationally. That wasn't happening back then. So to me, that's kind of the stuff I'm watching for in this series starting tonight. We've seen a lot. We covered a lot of Jordan. Unfortunately, my viewpoint of most of his career in North Carolina, I was living and working in North Carolina. So I got to see a different perspective of him. I was around people who knew him, really knew him, went to school with him. He had a friend who was a lawyer who has now been in business with him ever since he left Greensboro, and I won't get into his name, but he's with the team now down in Charlotte. But each year he would put on a camp for young people, and Jordan would come and bring about 24 NBA players and play a game just for the kids in this camp. And it was a big event during the summer. The media would be invited, just the kids in the camp and their families. You know, he could have sold tickets at the Greensboro Coliseum to see those guys play, but that wasn't what was happening. And Jordan would come to town. There'd be a big cookout the night before, a little partying getting in. Cards would come out. You play cards all night, go out and play around the golf, play 18 holes, and then leave that, took his golf shoes off, put his basketball shoes on, and come and play that basketball game for those kids. But that's something I got to see during that time that he would just do. And he would come, and no pretenses, because everybody there knew him, because that's where he grew up. So like I said, I had a chance to observe him that way. I'm waiting to see what's shown tonight.
And to do what he did with all the people that were doubting him right out of it. Once he got out of college level, I don't know much about his relationship with Dean Smith, other than, you know, the old joke about Dean Smith was the only person to keep Jordan under 20 points a game.
Yeah,
you know, that was the other thing. Yeah. But when he got to the Olympic team in 84, Bobby Knight didn't want him on that team. He didn't think he was that much. You know, wasn't a great shooter. He then became, you know, the biggest fan of Michael Jordan. Then he gets to the Bulls and the Reinsdorf and Jerry Krause, and they don't want to pay him what he's worth. And we just didn't listen to his father, may he rest in peace, about do not tell Michael he can't do something, because you're going to see a special person emerge from that. And all those people that were supposed to be mentors and so on and so forth that kept hurdles in front of him, he overcame and became what he became. Looking forward to it so much tonight. Mr. Crenshaw, we are sounding better, and everything seems to be back on track with us in this Sunday show. So I'm looking forward to next week, my man.
Looking forward to it, too. Thanks to all of our guests who joined us, and thank to all our listeners. Shelter in place. Stay safe and healthy, y'all. But thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Enjoy the draft. And Jahi, again, just thank you for everything that you've done, along with Christian,
awesome.
Mike Conti, other people at the station that helped us get up and running this past for the Sunday show this past week. Anyway, you guys have yourself a big day. Stay dry. Stay safe. Enjoy your week. Enjoy the draft. Enjoy the last dance. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and also check us out on radio.com, all your devices, including your smart speakers. Good morning, Georgia.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.